Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. So glad to have you in the studio with me. We just had an awesome first hour. If you missed the first hour, make sure you get it in the archives. You can download it, podcast. Find out what's on God's heart. Find out. Go back and listen to the first hour today. You'll find out a prophetic word, what's happening to the economy, what God's expecting from us, you know, God's perspective. Listen, he has not left us without a word. He has not left us without a plan. There is hope. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, listen, there is a plan by God to get back to where we need to be. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Extra Hour. I'm so excited about joining you today. Oh my goodness. It was such a wonderful first hour that we had. It's just, oh my goodness. Listen, this is exciting. You know, it's sad when you're, you know, I remember when I was in Rome and we were stuck there and we had a map and we were trying to find our way around and we found out we had the wrong map. But for the longest time, we were trying to get our way around. There's nothing more frustrating than to know that you need to go somewhere and need to do something, but you don't have a map to get there. Well, I got new good news for you that God has given us a map. It's his word. He's given us a living word. He's given us a prophetic word. And you're going to hear about even more on VFN radio, VFN radio, about what God is saying. I'm so glad, John, to have you with us in the studio today.
Hey, Greg, I'm delighted to be here this morning. You know, what an amazing first hour we had. I'm telling you, if you're listening and you're really enjoying the word that you're receiving and you're being encouraged and you're on Facebook, I want to encourage you, go ahead and like the VFN TV at the Daily Radio Program, our fan page there, and you can like it and get the word out. Get this word out, because I'm telling you, this is truly a great, great blessing. And that's one great way you can support what the Lord is doing these days.
Yeah, it really is. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. And you also can follow us on Twitter at VFNTV1. That's VFNTV1. Want to give a big shout out there to Brett and Sharon in Denver. I know that you're going to have a wonderful picnic for the neighborhood and the community. Y'all was reaching out up there in the brand new church plant in Denver up there. We're very excited about that. A picnic in the park, John.
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm so encouraged by that. We've done that same model out here in the Northeast in New Jersey. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get people together and just to share the love of God, your fellowship, you have good time. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, I love what St. Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, Greg, use words. And I'm telling you, that's a wonderful way to reach out to people. Just love on them and be kind. And so I'm excited for Brett and Sharon out there in Denver, Colorado. Shout out and keep up the good work.
That's right. I want to give a big shout out also to Mr. Granger down in Lakeland. I understand that you're going through some difficult times. Know that we're praying for you. And also want to give a shout out to Pam Gray. As you can tell, we were actually praying for you. And I want to remind all the VFN family that's listening, don't forget about Due Space. You know, Psalms 133 says it's a good, it's a place of that pleases God when we dwell together in unity. And it's just so neat to see everybody from all around the world take on the burdens of the church, you know, and begin to pray for each one individually. So don't forget today to visit the do, and make sure that everybody's doing good. Check up on them. Check out the new posts. I'm seeing some wonderful things that are going on Due Space for the VFN family out there. Also, I want to remind everybody that you can get VFN Radio, VFN TV, on your mobile device. If you're not listening to us right now on your mobile device, it's pretty cool. John, get this. Pat, get this.
Talk to us.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I am riding my motorcycle.
Uh-oh.
I am riding my motorcycle. Actually, I had a moment of time. It was a slender moment, but I ran out of my office and I jumped on my bike and like, you know, getting away. And, I put the safety gear on. There's no seatbelt on a motorcycle. So you just kind of hold on and Jesus holds you on to the thing. And, I'm listening. I have my iPhone earbuds in my ear, you know, and I have it. My iPhone's turned to VFN radio and I'm listening because it's 24-hour broadcast. You know, we record live right now. It's live when you're hearing us. If you're hearing us between the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. Central hour, but you can hear the same program all day long because we have so many different time zones all the way over to Yulong in China. He's listening to it in Israel and in Malawi and just all over the world. And so it plays all. So we'll have 2 hours live, but then it will play. So I was able to get on my bike, push a simple button on my application on my iPhone and be encouraged by VFN radio. So I'm riding my bike, man. It's just it's just a good thing. It's a really good thing. God's good. God's good. And so I'm riding it and I'm listening to an encouraging word. You know, one of the teachings actually is what I'm listening to off of the application that you can listen to them, which is Desperate for God's Glory. As a matter of fact, that's going to be available really soon. And, wow. You know, Desperate for God's Glory. I'm just so excited about that. Hopefully it'll be up this week. But I'm listening to it and I'm just thinking, oh man, this is just perfect. I'm driving out into the wilderness. I'm going out to like this long country road, man. It's just like, at first I was like, this is great. Oh, actually it was like Spring Lake area. Do you remember Spring Lake back in Florida when we had the father and son camping trip at Spring Lake?
Oh yes, 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 yes. My goodness. You're taking us back there. Father and son camping trip. It's pretty beautiful out there. And did I tell you about, the young man that I saw at the McDonald's, drive-through? I won't confess when I got there. I'm driving through and I'm back in town in Pensacola. I haven't been in Pensacola in a couple of years and I'm coming to pick up some food. And he says, "Don't I know you?" I says, I'm not from here, you know? And he says, no, I know you. I know you." It's just this older, teenager, probably young man, 19, 20 years old, probably. And he says, "Aren't you the SA? Aren't you the SA guy?" And, I said, "Actually, I am." And we just realized that we had this moment. You know, at the father and son camping trip, we were so blessed to share this prophecy where really 1,000 father and sons camping in the wilderness. And it was just great to be able to reach out, Greg, to the whole community, you know, and to see all of these sons, all of these fathers and their hearts turning back to each other. And this young man came with his father, who was a principal there in Pensacola. And Larry Knight, if you're listening, we give you a shout out.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What a faithful partner, faithful dad. He came out there with his four sons. And my goodness, was spreading his time, you know, with all his boys. And they came back year after year after year after year, greatly impacted. And we had an essay contest that they could write about the father. And he remembered me, and he says to this day, you know, I thank you so much for that father and son camping trip. And Greg, it's made a tremendous impact. You know, I remember seeing Derek not too long ago in the Walmart, and he said this very same thing, you know. So it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
Well, so, you know, it's part of the prophecy. You know, we you know, as we always said, that when we were doing that for 10 years, and you can find out more about that at greglancasterministries.org, and it's referred to it as the Next Step Outback. Today you can click on and find out, even see videos of what we're talking about. But it's a prophecy of turning the father's hearts back to the children and the children to the fathers. This is not just natural, but it's spiritual. It's the church. The church is a family, and families have fathers. And so we are actually talking continually about, you know, relating as family, because we have to – the enemy's fought so much against family being a positive thing and an encouraging thing and a purposeful thing, and everything's about fragmenting it. And so we have to fight against that current and believe God to touch us and say, you know, family's good, and it is good. And you do find health in the family, and it's just a powerful thing. And so you can find out more about that. But yeah, essay, I totally remember that, because we're actually trying to get and this is really tough. Anybody, if you're a teacher and you're listening, you know how hard this is. Barbara out there also Kechara teachers in Texas out there, you're probably listening right now, is and Ayana, is that, you know, trying to get a boy or a man to write something is very difficult. And so we thought, hey, you know, we will just make a big theatrical moment about it. We'll say you need to write an essay, but we'll play do a play on a word like essay, you know. And so John was, his name was Essay, and he was supposed to come out in a bandana, and he was out there saying, you know, essay, essay, everybody doing it. And they were all into it. And everybody remembers it today, but hardly anybody wrote their testimony. And it's like, tell us your testimony. And this, we've realized, you know, as God was, you know, bringing this into television industry is that he wanted us to get into, because men will actually record something, but they unless they won't write something. And so they had no problem sharing their testimonies. You can see that, like I said, at GregLancasterMinistries.org, and click on the Next Step Outback banner. But I was riding my motorcycle, and I'm going down past that Spring Lake area. And so this is the unknown territory. I'm driving my bike, and I've never really actually, because, you know, it's new to me. My neighbor, you know, blessed me with this bike, and it was just really cool. I probably wouldn't have got one from anybody else other than him. And so I haven't ridden on soft dirt roads before, sandy roads. And so I'm paying close attention, you know, because I'm out there and I'm listening to VFN radio. My helmet's on. I got a face protection on and all that. So I can't really see what's going on. And the sand's getting softer and softer and softer. And all of a sudden, it's going through this wooded area. I'm thinking, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm not that talented. I might not be able to turn this thing around. I'm going to get this thing in the sand. All these thoughts crossing my head. And so then I passed this old, it looked like petticoat junction house. I don't know. Y'all can't relate to that. Some just old wooden.
Like a little house on the prairie?
Yes, kind of, but it had a porch on it, you know, and okay. It was up. And they were sitting on this big chair, and this man was on this, sitting here rocking back and forth, and had his big dog, and had a pig. This pig was so big; it must have been 1,000 pounds, man. It looked like a little small mountain there, you know. I didn't realize it had a nose for a moment. I thought it was just a hill or something. And then I'm passing slowly, and I'm looking at him, and I didn't look to the right, and I realized once I passed it that there was a sign there. So now I'm caught between barbed wire fence, going down this road, passing pigs and chickens and goats, and also past this man on this porch up here. I'm thinking I'm on his property. I'm probably on his property. I am on soft sand. I am between barbed wire fence. I'm passing goats and pigs and chickens and stuff. I don't know who's on this front porch who might be drawing down on me any time right now. I got VFN radio playing in my ears, and now I'm realizing I might be in trouble. And so I kind of turn my bike, and I can't turn it around because I'm stuck between the barbed wire fence. And I'm going down through the woods now, and I passed all that farm area. I'm thinking, well, I don't know. And I start thinking, I might not make it out of here. So I pull them earphones out. I'm thinking, I have never been out in this country area, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Remember it? Remember, John? Remember that?
You might need your bulletproof vest to get out there.
I know. And so then I keep driving. I pull the earbuds down. Like, I got to hear what's going on. I pull my face mask up. I'm looking around thinking anytime something can happen out here. I'm pulling. I don't know. I just didn't know where I was. And then all of a sudden, man, after just continuing to ride, I came out on this beautiful lake. It's a river out there. It's called Beck's Lake. And it was just beautiful, man. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, I would have never known that. And so I show up. I'm going to park my bike, take off all my gear. You know, it's in Florida. It was hot. And I go down. There was a fire burning. There was tents out, but there was nobody there. And they were gone, you know, I guess. As I'm walking, there's fishing poles in the water. And so I'm walking out, and I'm sitting on this bench or something that's out there by the water. It's just beautiful, beautiful. And then my mind starts thinking, I wonder why there's nobody here. I wonder why the tent. Why is there a fire burning, and why are these fishing poles still in the water? I'm thinking,
see?
Oh, my goodness.
That's almost just as good as, you know, trying to walk at night in certain parts of the Bronx. You know, I'm like, the dark here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, kind of like, so I was sitting there, and so my mind, you know, of course, the adversary's there to kind of fill us in on what's going on, saying that they're probably all dead, and you just walked into a murder scene. And so then, you know, I think this is right behind Pat's house. I'm messing with you. We're just having a good time today. But anyway, so I got out there. I sat on this bench, and it's just beautiful. I took some pictures, and I'm thinking, you know, I had a meeting scheduled with one of the ministers in BFN, and so I'm calling him up, and I'm telling or texting him because he's at work, and I say, hey, you got to meet me here. And I'm thinking, I don't even know where here is, you know. And so I did the GPS thing. I copied the link. I sent it, and all of a sudden, these sailors showed up. They went to go get some firewood or whatever. Real nice guys, and they had spent the night there, and it's just a beautiful place out there. And but then I realized after about 5 minutes, every living flying creature was flying, biting me. I was getting things in my ears, things in my eyes. I mean, they were all over me. So I looked at these sailors, you know, and I said, how do you stop these bugs from biting you? Oh, you don't stop them. You know, I'm thinking like, I'm out of here, you know. So I got back on my bike and took off. But it was the big thing I was talking about with all this is that I had a bike. No, it was the fact that I was listening to VFN radio because I have a mobile application. If you want to be that mobile, no matter where you're going, you can download the VFN TV app. Either search for it in iTunes store, search for it in the Android store, or just go to your browser on your phone and type in vfntv.com and just follow the instructions. Listen, there's nothing about, no matter where you go, even to this wild place in the wilderness, you still can listen to VFN TV, VFN radio, no matter where you go.
Greg, I got a question. Does that app come with a bike? Does it come with the bike too? I mean, we want the whole experience. I mean, talk to us.
We're going to be going to these commercials. We'll be right back in just a moment. Articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you, because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said, when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God, and that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days, and they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brothers outside want to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org.
This is like a very deep, deep experience that it is just alive to me. And I could never forget that God is in my heart.
Last night, it was just, I don't know, it was just last night I actually felt this wonderful feeling
It's very warm, just like someone was hugging me. So great. And last night was very informative, very information, a lot of good information that everybody should listen to, everybody should know. And just after last night, I mean, I'd recommend everybody in the world to just at least test this out, see how it is.
Vine is proving that you don't have to leave where you are. God will meet you right where you are, in your living room, in your family room, in your backyard, in your pool, wherever. And I think that's a great concept that Vine's actually putting out there.
Well, you definitely feel the love with the Vine seminars, a lot of enlightenment. You see everyone come together, as they say, like a family. Feels like a family, definitely family-oriented in every which way.
Wow, this is so powerful to hear those testimonies coming in, you know, from all the different things taking place up there. But some of those I know came from New Jersey up there when we were up in New Jersey. It's just so powerful. Remember how the Lord just came down and touched everybody, and it was just a powerful, powerful time, wasn't it?
It was pretty awesome. We had our very first Vine seminar, and you can get more information on Vine seminar coming up pretty soon. But I'll tell you, we had a great time, Greg. We had folks that came in all the way as far as Brooklyn. We had folks come from Manhattan, the Bronx, and the presence of the Lord was so, so awesome. I remember the first night, people were just were overwhelmed with God's love and His presence. One young lady, her name is Nicole. Give you a shout out. She's out all the way in Brooklyn, and Nicole says that her testimony is that she just couldn't help it, but just that God was just drawn her. She had to raise her hand. And it's just an amazing, amazing time. So beautiful Vine seminars.
That it was so good. I really, really enjoyed that up there. You know, as we are talking and seeing what's taking place today, you know, we always talk about we want to be educated. You know, we want to be able to illuminate, you know, what we're seeing with the light of God's word. And we want to be able to inspire you. And that's what we want to do. You know, not to tell you all these things that are happening without looking at God's perspective of it, which would be to illuminate it. But then we want to inspire you and say, you know what? You know, this is why you want to do it. And then we want to activate you. We want to say, you know what? You know, everybody, think about when Paul went to, I believe it was Greece. Was it Greece? Or you can fill me in where you went to here. When everybody was just sitting around, they were just talking. That's all they were doing. They're pontificating, you know what I'm saying? They were just talking about what was taking place. And they had people, servants that did all their work for them. And so, you know, Paul shows up and he begins to and he sees gods all over the place. He sees these statues all over the place. And he talks to them and he says, you know, that and they just love the next news program that came on. You know what I'm saying? Just talk to me some more about something I'm not going to do.
Right.
And so then Paul came and he talked to them about what was happening. And he presented them the gospel. And he talked about the unknown God. Of course, we've talked about that. But we do know about, you know, you have one that says the unknown God. Well, let me tell you who He is. And he began to present Jesus Christ and the awesomeness of who He is. And they said, well, we just really like what you're saying. It's just really stimulating to you. As a matter of fact, can you come back tomorrow and tell us some more? And the big thing about that was they were idle. These leaders, these people who were blessed were in regards to being able to have servants and all those things that were taking place, that they were blessed, and so they weren't active. They didn't do anything. They just kind of talked all day long. They came together, and they just said, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, I was thinking this, and, you know, philosophies and all these different things. And when you think about it, since it's done so differently today, that we don't ever compare ourselves to the simplicity of how things really are. There's nothing new under the sun, and we just do it in a different way. And you think about it, a 24-hour news cycle, I mean, people can hear news all day long, and it's like you're just going to get more fearful, more worried, and more concerned if you don't have God's perspective of the news. If you don't understand that you know, how to change this or how to affect people's life, or that, you know, the Lord is coming back and there is going to be a time when and it's not going to be turned around and God's just going to come back and rescue us. But understanding that we're doing the very same thing today. I mean, we're doing the very same thing today that, you know, and the people are just talking about what they heard on the news, but it's like, are you going to do anything with it? I mean, why do you want to know anything if you're not going to do anything about it? And if you're a believer, this is one thing that always would get my goat, as they would say, probably where I rode my motorcycle, they probably what they say. And is that right, Pat? Is that what they say out there? And
yeah.
Then, you know, I remember I was a traditional pastor for about 6 years, you know, we founded a traditional church from the beginning up, so we know how it all works, you know. And so in that, I remember that talking to one particular couple once, and the one couple said this. The couple said this when we're talking, because we're always like, let's get busy. Let's do what God says. Let's go in the field. Let's go. So they're looking at you like, what? You know what? And I'm thinking, like, I'm not going to continue talking to a people that aren't planning on doing what's going on. This is not working. This is not supposed, you know, Jesus would talk to you for a while, but then he would send you out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to do something with this. And so, right. And so one particular couple, I remember saying once, he said, listen, we're going to go somewhere else. We want to go someplace that we just sit there and we're not expected to do anything.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's going to be easy to find. you know, right. And then I'm not being negative. Just saying, I'm talking about, and when we talk about the church, we're talking about people. We're not talking about buildings. Listen, you know, buildings are wonderful. I don't care if it's a house building or an office building or a storefront building or a stucco building or a crystal cathedral building or a block building or a hay building or no building or a tunnel vision or underground. I know some people are living in like 747s in the wilderness. I mean, shelter is good in a storm. There ain't nothing like shelter, and there ain't nothing like air conditioner either, by the way. I sure hope America turns around before we lose our air conditioner. It's going to be rough. And so, yeah, we'll just have to call you up, Howard, and you got to tell us how, you know, you've learned how to live. I was talking to Howard in Malawi, and it started raining, and their houses have 10 roofs.
10.
Yeah, not the number 10. 10 roofs, and the rain was so loud, he finally said, I'm going to have to call you back after the storm.
Wow.
This exposed 10 roof, and here he is serving the Lord and, you know, planting churches and being there for the kids, and just, you know, we'll talk more about that in the future, and so it is possible, America. It's possible. But, you know, I'm saying that because, you know, we can look at the Bible and think, oh, that never happened. It's not going to happen to us. And it's like, we're doing it today. We're getting all this information, more information. They said, and this is what you could probably help me out with this, John. But they say that, you know, that our grandfathers, that we've actually have more information in one day.
Yeah.
In one day in our life, we have that much information hitting us. That our grandfathers or great grandfathers didn't have in the entire lifetime.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, like, what are we doing with this? You know, what are we doing with this information? Like, I just, you know, as a matter of fact, we started slowing down and said, you know what? We want to use a pencil and a paper. I want to move at the pace that I can obey God. You know, sure. I want to interact with God, and we do that at iabide.org. You know, it's a good plan. People want to spend some time with God. Quite often, they need a plan to be able to do that. You can actually go to iabide.org and find out the plan that we're using. You'll just request the plan that comes to you immediately. There's a video that kind of explains to you, and you'll see as I'm talking to you, I have journals for years of where I've just been spending time with God with a pencil and the Bible and Him and me, and you guys have done that as well, and many of our listeners have.
Right.
And there's just this, who can take that from you? Nobody can take that from you. I mean, if you can't pay your cable bill, if you can't pay your power bill, if you got a piece of paper, your Bible and God, you got it made, you know? It's just refreshing, you know, to be able to get back to that, you know? We like using electronics and different things, but we always say that we want these electronic devices to submit to us. We don't want to submit to them. So we use them, but we don't let them use us, if that makes sense. And so you can find out that plan at iabide.org. And I'm saying that because really we're doing the same thing. We're just sitting around talking, and I only talk so long before I say, okay, now we're going to do something about it. You know, right. What are we going to do about it? You know, we're not about entertainment, even though, you know, we entertain ourselves quite often about it, but we're just about, you know, let's do something about it. You know, God's empowered you as a believer, and everything that's the same Jesus that's in everybody else that you've ever been seen used by God is in you. You know, we're going to be talking about God's generals and those that have gone before us and the blessedness of possessing nothing, you know, and Tozer, and just realizing we got a lot of wrong mindsets that have kept us from obeying God. And there's a lot of people around you that you're going to be shocked when you find out what God, when you're going God's way, how many people that you assume that they were really going God's way, that that second heaven or the adversary will use them to try to stop you from going forward. No, that's quite that can be a lot of your process. You know, part of Joseph's process was to be able to go through those processes to be trained up. Part of David's processes was to go through those rough times to be trained up. But don't understand this, that when you go with God, you're going to go against the grain. You know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. And understand this, that do you want to go on the wide road, or do you want to go on the narrow road? Listen, God wants everybody to be on the narrow road. But
that's right.
But that's Jesus saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, Howard Pittman wrote his book, The Placebo Gospel. You know, and I don't know how much time we have, but right, coming to this. I want to share this. You got a moment? Can I share this with you?
Yeah.
Howard Pippen, he wrote this book, and we want to share with you, you know, things that we've experienced so that you can just hear it. I can just download it to you right now, and you can hear it. So you can read it. It's Howard Pittman's Placebo Gospel. And in this, he was a sheriff. He was an officer, and he just started a ministry, pastoring a church for about maybe 2 or 3 years. You know, these are all variations. You can, you know, the exactness of these things, and that he decided that he felt like he was supposed to run for sheriff, you know, and so he's serving God. He's pastoring a church, John, a traditional church. It's a building. He's showing up. He's pastoring it, and so he feels like, you know, this is what I'm doing for God, you know. And then, but he feels supposed to run for sheriff as well. So he's out running to a particular supporter, and he's going to stop by their house because they're going to give him support for his office or something. And then all of a sudden, he has a heart attack. I think about the James 4:15. Somebody says, "What time is it?" We always go, "It's always 4:15," which means my plans are subject to change anytime God wants them to. He says, "A man should always say, if it's in God's will, this is what I'll do." And so, and what happened was Howard Pittman had a heart attack, and next thing he's on the operating table, and he leaves his body, and he dies on the operating table. And he goes, an angel comes and escorts him to heaven, and he's literally watching this whole transaction of people that have been saved, that have died, that are going to the throne room of God. And he looks over at a certain number of people, and it's just like maybe 100 people or so that are going to the throne room of God. And he goes, "What are those people over there?" And the angel goes, "These are people that were saved." He goes, "That's wonderful." And he goes, "No." He says something like 2,700 just died.
Wow.
You know, and the numbers, I'm pulling the numbers, you know, and you can verify this with the book, the exact numbers, but it was just a horrendous difference of those who, and you understand, they died too, but they did not go to heaven, they went to hell. Mm-hmm. And so it was just rocking his paradigms, you know, and he's like, oh, and he says, "So can I go with them to go to the throne room?" And the angels tell him, no, not for that. And so he brings them to a throne room outside of a doorway of God's throne room, if you would, like a just a doorway kind of thing. And he is standing to the side. The angel kind of put him to the side. He didn't see God. And he knows, he feels like he's about to see God. He's going to talk to God. And so he has this whole list. He's literally got a paper list or list that he's writing or wrote. And he's going to explain to God. He's going to explain to God why he needs the Brunford Sheriff. It's like, dude, you're in heaven, man. Why would you want to go back and run for sheriff? Come on. And so, and he's got this whole list of explaining to God why he feels he needs to go back to be able to do what he feels he's called to do. I mean, you're God telling God what God's called you to do, right? That's something. And so all of a sudden, as he's tucked away, hidden behind this door threshold thing, and, you know, he can't see God. He just knows God's behind that thing, and all of a sudden, imagine every single storm you ever heard at the very same time, just like, just imagine this huge, huge sound. It's just, and it was the voice of God. And he says in his book, he's writing, he says, "And I dropped my list." What happened was, did he realize that he had totally done it all wrong. He had done it all wrong. Even though he was a minister, even though he was a preacher, even though he had a church, he was all wrong. And he realized at some point, and so he heard this big sternness of God's voice that came out that just totally crushed him in the concepts of all of his ideas and concepts. And as he began to humble himself, and then the other kindness part of God began to relate to him and comfort him. So it had the kindness and the sternness of a father. And it just whole encounter and his whole paradigm just instantly just shook. And all this religion is thrown out. And let me tell you right now, if you're listening and you're all caught up in the religion, just walk away from religion. Listen, you could be standing there like Howard was, and with all this religion in your pocket, and have to drop it down, and it meant nothing to God, you know. And it's about doing what God says to do in the right way. And so he realizes that when God, he comes back into his body, you know, I'm actually doing this quickly, but it's Howard Pittman's book, the Placebo Gospel. And a placebo, let me explain what a placebo is for those that might not know what a placebo is. If they're going to have a new medication, they're going to try it out, and they're going to see if it works or not. They'll take 10 subjects, for example, or say 100 subjects, and 50 of them they will give the new medication to, and 50 of them they'll give like a sugar pill to, something that's nothing, and it's called the placebo. And then they'll measure the results of what happens to these individuals. And, of course, the placebo is nothing, but they're trying to find out if I give them the medicine, the other 50, the medicine, will they be any different than the people who had the placebo? And they can measure that way whether this medicine works or not. And sometimes they find out that the placebo has some things that take place, but it doesn't do the job, you know. And the book's called The Placebo Gospel. And there's a gospel being preached that it's a placebo gospel. There's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. And it's been done so well, and it looks like the pill, and it sounds like the pill of the gospel, but it's not the right one, because there's no doing involved in the aspect of it. You know, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And so Jesus called them to himself, then he sent them out from him. And then he said, go and do likewise. And so, you know, with that, he makes it back, you know, to his body, and he's so sorrowful for all of his life to that point. And he basically, I believe, he reasoned with the Lord of saying that if you just give me a little bit more time, I'll make this right. And so he goes back. When he comes back to his body, he spends the rest of his life traveling the world, telling everybody about the true Jesus, the true God, the kindness and the sternness of God, that it's not some religious whatever. It's not trying to please men. It's pleasing God, that it's an intimate relationship. Truly, there's an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. You know, this is the reason why we call him holy and righteous and mighty, and that, you know, understanding that he preached this all over the world, and so many people had come to know God. He left all that religion behind, and he got it, and God gave him mercy to come back to do things right. And so I just want to encourage you that repentance, when we were talking about that in the first hour, and we're talking about it even in this extra hour today, that understanding this journey is that you got to change everything. You got to change everything, and you got to want to do it. And understanding that you want to do it is because you want to be with Jesus. You find out he loves you. You know, it was real tough when he heard the sternness of God, but he melted when the kindness of God began to comfort him. You know, for example, if you have a child that you have to spank, that child is the last thing you want to do, or discipline that child. But after you finish disciplining them, then you comfort them, and it helps the child understand what's really going on, you know, and that's what God was doing to him, the kindness and the sternness of God. And so in that, he talks about the statistics of Jesus. You know, you study the statistics of Jesus and the message that he preached, because you think about it, that was Jesus was by himself when he first started. You know, the Father was with him. And then he progressively was with 12, correct?
Right.
And he trained these 12 up. He related to these 12. He spent time with these 12. And he just walked day-to-day life with them. And then he sent them out like sheep amongst wolves, mind you. That's dangerous out there. Yep, wolves, eh? It's like wolves. And so then he sends them out And then they come back to him and they report about what they have done. You know what I'm saying? What happened, you know? And then he goes from the 12 and then he goes to 72 and he sends the 72 out after being with them. And then at the end, when he is with the Father and he says, I want you to go and tarry, there was 120 in the upper room. Think about it. 120 was in the upper room at that point. I mean, thousands of people were interested in Jesus. People were receiving from Jesus. People were getting healed and people getting delivered and people getting fed that were hungry. But when Jesus turns around, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Everybody except the disciples started leaving. These are people that he healed, that he delivered, that he provided for. He's so loving and he's so kind. But it boils down, you got to know him. You got to know this Jesus, you know, and he loves you. But you can't, don't buy into religion. There's religion. You can have religion. There's so much religion all over the world. And what's happening right now, religion is coming to a crescendo across the earth. And you're going to see religious battles go on. But you understand that it's not about religion with Jesus. It's about a relationship. And it's about a family. You know, God, the Father God wanted a family, so he sowed a son. And families have fathers and mothers, and we're sisters and brothers, and we're supposed to lay down our life for each other and live our life together. And people are supposed to fear coming amongst our number, and there should be a difference. You know, there's one thing we have about, you know, talking about some of our gatherings, that we see people that come in with wrong tensions, wrong motives to come amongst us. But we don't have to worry about that because we see what God does. I mean, we literally had somebody that came and they were coming with wrong intentions to be able to harm somebody that was in one of the gatherings. And just like you read in the book of Acts, that all of a sudden they began to choke. They began to get, and for literally for almost, they had to leave. They literally just left. They could not stay in the presence of God. And the only thing the church was doing was just raising their hand and worshiping God and just, nothing, no hype or nothing, but God's presence was so strong that God dealt with whatever he needed to deal. He knew the motives of people's hearts. And that person today, you understand now, is serving the Lord. Is that not awesome?
Wow, totally awesome.
Totally amazing. Awesome. I think about another situation. This is how the church is supposed, this is how the fullness of how we're supposed to be. I mean, you read the book of Acts, it's not a history book, it's an operation manual. But we're sitting, we're at a gathering, a VFM family gathering, and we're eating. We always eat when we come together. I mean, just like you read in the Word. And so a particular visitor comes that particular day, maybe a couple visitors, I don't know. But this one was actually a leader in a kind of a traditional church setting. He's actually over the young people. He was over the young people. He said he was over the young people in that particular church. And so church gathering. And so he begins to tell us, and we're just eating and loving on him and all the different things. Everybody's having a great time, and we begin to worship God. And he actually even tells us that we're doing that wrong. Remember that? And so, you know, you don't have to impress anybody. Listen, when you're in the church, you don't care what people say. You know, it really doesn't, you know, you love them, but you're not defining yourself. He's like, really? Because if you walk with God, and you see him in your life, and you know that he's real, and you know that you abide with him on a daily basis or spend time with him, you know, on a regular basis, that you're not concerned about all the other stuff. And so he immediately goes from explaining to us and, you know, how worship was supposed to be done, and God's presence just enveloped the place. It totally just enveloped the place. And we're just, you know, just worshiping God, you know, and he begins to cry out and just weep and just cries out in front of all of us, and tears start pouring down his face. This is the one that was telling us, the person who's over the youth at a particular, and he starts crying. He says, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Is this not right to that?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a sinner. And they begin to cry out, and immediately there was a couple of men there that walked over with him, where everybody continued to worship, and they actually led him to a place of repentance and forgiveness, and his whole life, he was just totally freed. In that one moment. Let me tell you something. Listen, there's a lot of religion going on, but not a lot of relationship. God wants you in a relationship. Really, it's because repentance is, like I said, you have to want to do it. But when you understand God's not religious, that he's relational, and things like this, you know, this is pretty cool when you find out that all this stuff really happens, and people that are sick get healed, and people who are bound are delivered, and, there's one of the situations going on. I'm talking about this. You know, talking about VFN TV. You know, you can actually subscribe for free to VFN TV. You have access to it. There's a few things that you can get right now on your app or at VFNTV.com, but you're a free subscriber. You have access to everything. But one of the particular things that you'll find in VFNTV teaching is called Deliver Us from the Evil One. I mean, you think about it. You know, Jesus tells us how to pray. He says, teach us how to pray. And he's talking to the disciples, and he says, you know, of course, the Lord's Prayer that we talk about. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So he asks us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. And so we talk about empty houses and open doors, and you can get that if you want to subscribe to VFNTV.com. But the anointing of God, this teaching was going forth through VFNTV broadcasting around the world, America at that time. And in one part of that, when I'm talking about, come out, to speak into the demonic. And I remember we were actually in a meeting, and somebody just grabbed somebody off the street and just brought them in without even considering the church, the sheep, and just brought in this whole bad situation into the church, which is in a whole another we didn't talk about in the future, is that they didn't want to be there, and they were carrying the things in the world on them. And that doesn't clash well when you have the presence of God there. So one particular man, he was actually fell asleep in the middle of the teaching on VFN-TV. And everybody that's there is actually listening to what's going on, what's happening as this word's coming forth. And all of a sudden, right there in the middle of that, when this guy's laying on his right arm, he's spread out in front of the church. And is this true?
Yes.
And he's all spread out, he's sleeping in front of everybody. All of a sudden, I point at that, out of that television, I'm pointing at the cameras. I'm so anointed what God is doing. He does this in his church everywhere, but we're telling you what's happening at the event. And I just say, come out of him in Jesus' name. And immediately he went from a dead sleep. He sat straight up, and that demon left that man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Sure did.
Yeah, I remember the particular lady that was sitting right beside her hair shot straight up on her arm as she slid across the room. That understanding that this, you understand, listen, you don't need fictitious things. You don't need bungee jumping. You just need Jesus. There's nothing more adventurous than to live for God and what's taking place. This is an adventure, and all the things happen. There's people that are religious that just love, for some reason, they like being religious, but they don't want to follow God's ways. So it's just real weird. You got those things going on, but you have, in the core of that, you have people who actually want to follow God. They love Jesus, and they want to walk with him. And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. You know, and so you think about that you'll want to walk with a God that when you read about him and you experience him, that everything he says he is, then you want to have that authentic, genuine relationship with him. There is just nothing like it.
There's nothing like abiding with him. You know, every time we get an opportunity to spend time with the Lord and hear what he is saying to us is special. You know, oftentimes we talk about abiding, and abiding is just very simple. All it is just spending time with the Lord, reading his word, and listening to what he has to say to you for that day. You know, I so appreciate the fresh teachings that we get at VFN-TV, and because it's not a copy and paste, if you will, message. It's exactly what the Lord is saying at that moment. But the beautiful thing is that, you know what, that's the inheritance of the believer. We are all called to hear his voice. We are all called to enjoy that fellowship. We're not waiting for the one-man show or for the one-man ministry or the one-woman ministry. We all can sit at the Lord's feet and hear a now word.
And so what the church, we should be doing then, is empowering people to go out like the 12, empowering people to go out like the 72, and relating to them so there's a place for them to come back to be able to share what God did and encourage them. And, you know, sometimes say, well, don't rejoice in the fact that the demons listen to you. Rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb books of life. But I want to say this before we come to an end here, is understanding that, of our extra hour, that, you know, Howard Pittman had this authentic, genuine encounter and just rocked his world. And we're talking about repentance. You know, what does repentance mean? And that, you know, yeah, all these things are going on and we have to repent. But repentance is not an altar call. It's not a moment where you just go, I'm sorry. is when we say, you know what, I want to leave all the ways that I've done things. I want to transform my mind. I want to renew the way I don't want to be a subculture. I want to be a counterculture. God didn't call us to be, you know, the world and then a little bit different than the world. He called us to be separate than the world. And we have to do that by being transformed and being discipled and being trained up. And he says, those who follow my teachings, Jesus said, are really my disciples. So you need to be able to know the teachings of Jesus. You need somebody to be able to speak in your life. And one thing that we really love is Larry Kreider's simple little booklets is the foundations of faith. The foundations of faith is when you actually understand that, it's just simple biblical foundations. There's so many people that's actually had so many deep teachings that they've drowning in the shallowness of the truth, if you know what I mean.
That's right. You know, if I always say that people that enjoy these 12 booklets, they don't know more than probably 85% of the average believers sitting in the church today. You know, it's amazing. You can go to Bible college and hear all these wonderful and amazing things in God's word, but we need to learn the foundation. You know what I mean? We need a foundation. Who is Jesus, the Lord? You know, to know what is the church, the great commandment, the great commission, grace. And it's these simple truths that we need to learn, and they're all covered in these wonderful foundations of faith. I know that many believers here in our fellowship have enjoyed them. And, you know, how can we enjoy the deeper things of the Lord unless we have that right foundation to build upon?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that you know, we think because we're not there or we need to get to a particular place, we think it needs to be more complicated.
Right. But, and many times people are just getting information, but yeah, they're not getting revelation.
Right.
You're stuck in the, you know, revelation. Revelation is cool. I understand it, you know, but how about, you know, obey your boss? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How about, you know, submit to your authority, you know? Let's get that down first, right, you know?
Well, you know, and so I just want to, you know, encourage you, if you're listening today, you know, we talked about the prophetic things that are happening. We talked about the economy shaking as you see it. And these are things that God told us before you're seeing what you see today. But also, you know, understand that we eliminate it with God's word and what he's saying. But I want to just inspire you, you know, just a repentance is like turning a big ship around. We got to change a lot of things about our life to be different. But God can empower us to do that. You can find out more about the empowerment that comes to the cross of Christ on the VFN application and on VFNTV.com. It's called the cross of Christ, you know, in dealing with our own sin nature and how God empowers us to be able to walk out of that. It's totally there for you. You don't have to be a subscriber to be able to get that. And that's made available to you. We'll be right back in just a moment.
I really wish that everyone could...
We're so excited to be able to talk to you about the prophetic things that are taking place. John, it's so good to have you today on VFN Radio. And it's encouraging. The word of wisdom is to be careful about the soul ties and the things that are actually tying us down, that we can be forgiven, but yet still tied to that thing. You know, have those cords still on us. And we can also have, a desire to do what's right, but not have the empowerment that comes through the cross of Christ. And just like Howard Pittman, we could be doing all this religious stuff and showing up to heaven thinking, you know, I always kind of had a different mindset, but this is my mindset. It's not everybody's mindset. And I've been shot with a lot of mindsets, but you know, I'm just grateful to be here. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel like I deserve anything. I'm just grateful to be here. But there, you know, if you feel like you're owed something, you know, and that, you know, you did something and something, you know, is God owes you something, I want to encourage you to kind of change that mindset a little bit. If anybody owes anybody, it's us that owes God, because he gave his son for us. And there is no religious work that we can do that can actually cause us to, the God to owe us something. You know, God's just good. God just blesses us. God is just wonderful in the things that he does. And it's just totally awesome, isn't he? Wonderful. Yeah. So I want to be able to say to you right now that if you want to get this abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to begin this journey You can begin this journey right now. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org. Request a simple abiding plan, and it'll come to you immediately, and you'll be able to begin right away experiencing, you know, what we've seen happen over and over again in our experience. We'll be right back. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, I'm telling you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, right. Me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down, I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you'd think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place, and I guess the school is just not here today. By the way, it didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow,
which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that. You know, I can feel your pain if you're listening right now, and you love Jesus. You know, you just want to know more about him, and I want to encourage you to find out more on vfnu.org today that's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used, that they had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, and by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen, and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. Well, thank you so much for joining us in the second, the extra hour. My goodness, John and Pat, it was just a wonderful to have you here. We're coming to a close day. What an awesome time that we've had with God and with each other. I'll tell you, the Lord is just blessing us. We're beginning to unveil the things that he shared with us in the backside, to bring it out on the front side, to be able to bring a church back to our Father. Truly, this is the day that the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children and the children of the Father. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you on tomorrow's program. Goodbye.